I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, what's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney company from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, who found the better way to mortgage so you can focus on making your new house home. A Rocket Mortgage push button, get mortgage Wednesday, probably in the car for a while as you travel to where you're going. If you're just getting in, we got you for the next couple of hours. If you're getting ready to maybe pull in, gas up a little bit, finish up the rest of the trip, we got you there as well. Tiki and Tierney on this Wednesday before Thanksgiving, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki, what's happening, bud?
Oh, it's good, man. Holiday weekend ahead. Looking forward to some
good
rivalry weekend games.
Mm.
I was just reading this morning about all the games that are played on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Because it doesn't feel like football should be played on Thanksgiving. But I know my son is playing on Thanksgiving up in Connecticut.
My high school's been playing since the 1800s.
Exactly.
On Thanksgiving.
So I did some research into this. Connecticut has like 48 games on Thanksgiving. And then New Jersey has a whole bunch.
Yeah.
And New York has a ton. And I didn't realize it. I just kind of associated with the National Football League. But what this weekend does provide is rivalry weekend.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bedlam, we'll talk about Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, because I'm going to that one. Mm. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about the Iron Bowl. The Commonwealth Bowl is the big one.
Virginia Tech. That's what they call it?
That's what they call it.
Is it an actual bowl? Is it a cup?
No,
is it a trophy?
Really.
Is it a...
Not really. Just bragging rights.
Where did they come up with all these trophies? Why does... I mean, it's cool.
It is.
But it seems like even in the middle of September, there's trophies being exchanged for certain
Virginia
schools.
Virginia is because it's the two bigger programs, Virginia and Virginia Tech, and it's still the Commonwealth of Virginia, so that's why it's the Commonwealth Cup. But
the other
ones
are a little more confusing, though.
They have weird histories, you're right. And
I don't
know all of them, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's like, huh? Can you explain it?
Those are the schools that don't play for the real trophies?
Maybe. Maybe, but big one for my Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night,
it's
actually.
Big one.
It's rivalry weekend, but it's also Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving.
For sure. And, listen, you never know how this is going to turn out. Obviously, you put the schedule out, and you hope that things work out the right way. Of the three games, CBS has the best one tomorrow in terms of being meaningful action. We have the Bills and the Cowboys. But, listen, there's, the Bears and the Lions? Let's face it, if you go to Grandma's, do you really mind if you're 30 minutes late? And you miss the first quarter of the Bears and the Lions? Do you really mind about that?
No.
No, you have to be on the couch for every second, unless you're a Lions or a Bears fan, of course. Every second of the Bills to the Cowboys game. And then I think what probably happens is you meander over to the couch at some point. Maybe you exchange the wine or the beer or the water.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for something a little darker. Maybe a little scotch, a little something, a little Hennessy. Whatever you're going to drink at night. And then you have the intentions of watching the Saints and the Falcons. And you either A, fall asleep. B, pass out because you're drunk. Or C, say it's time to watch something else because the Saints are running away from the Falcons and this game's not incredibly competitive.
Well, that's what we thought.
The Falcons have played better for the last month. I get that.
Right.
But two of these games are really,
they're dogs.
Really lackluster.
Yeah, you're right. And the one that matters is the CBS game at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, which is the Cowboys hosting the Bills, BT. And then we talked about this yesterday about Jerry Jones's comments regarding Jason Garrett and how it's a little bit of a disservice to the team to position his job in jeopardy when you're still ahead in the division and hopefully making a playoff run. It just feels, the wrong place and timing to do that. Now, Jerry Jones tried to downplay it a little bit by saying there's expectations for Jason, and obviously there's expectations for himself as the general manager, but you can't help but question what the future is for Jason Garrett. And I think we got a little bit of a clarity because Jerry Jones, I forget what interview he was doing, was saying basically Jason Garrett's got to finish in first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. There's a lot of ambiguity with what first place means. First place could be win the division,
mm-hmm.
which he's done three of the last 4 years, including a coach of the year back in 2016 when he had a 13-3 record. But that doesn't seem like what Jerry Jones is talking about. It sounds like Jerry Jones is saying Jason Garrett, in order to keep his job, needs to finish in first place in the NFL, which is win the Super Bowl. Otherwise, he's got to get fired. Can you imagine if you're Jason Garrett and you somehow flip the rest of this season? So they're 6-5 right now. Let's say they went out. They go 11-5. Mm-hmm. And they fall short in the second round of the postseason. And then he still gets fired after having a successful season. Jerry Jones has laid a gauntlet down for Jason Garrett. And I wonder if Jason Garrett is saying to himself, and so if I win, great. If I don't, also great, because I can't deal with this anymore.
I was going to say, he might be getting to the point where he might be okay with a little bit of a change of scenery.
Yeah.
You know, he might be. And, you know, I know that you squashed that report, whatever it was, the other day about Garrett. The Giants would be interested. Tiki was actually with Steve Tisch at the Bears game over the weekend. If you missed it, it was up at Notre Dame for an unofficial visit with his son, AJ, obviously a very good high school player. So he went from Notre Dame, then he went to the Bears-Giants game. And he was in the box with Steve Tisch, and that's really the first thing you said on Monday, despite all those reports, don't necessarily buy it. But whether it's the Giants or whether it's somebody would hire Jason Garrett.
Oh, of course.
You get to a point where it almost becomes a thankless job. Now, I look at what Jerry said, right? And there's certain owners, and George Steinbrenner used to do this a lot, and sometimes it's really effective. There are certain owners who, when speaking about his coach or their coach, they're really using that as a liaison to speak to the fan base. And I think in a lot of ways, yeah, he's putting Jason on notice for sure. But Jason's been on notice before.
Yeah.
I think he's immune to this stuff. It's almost you're desensitized to it.
I agree.
Think about how many sound bites we played from RJ and Sean, our buddies over at 105.3 The Fan down in Dallas.
Sorry.
We have Jerry on every week, and they have for years. We have played Jerry Jones sound bites about the state of the Cowboys and specifically about Jason Garrett for 5 straight years.
That's right.
And we've tried to decipher exactly what it means. And guess what? It's meant nothing.
Sure, because he's still there.
Exactly. So I don't think, you know, and having traveled to Dallas a lot, you know, Jenna's from there. I'm going there tomorrow morning. Actually, I'll be doing our show from the 105.3 The Fan Studios on Friday. I am working. Tiki's traveling. I'm working that day. So I'll be doing the show remotely in Dallas. But, you know, having all of her friends are Cowboys fans.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to be honest with you, as I really thought about this last night, I'm saying, yeah, it seems like it's a heightened emotion. It seems like it could derail the team if you look at it that way. I don't think it even impacts the team because they're so used to hearing this. I think they come out. I think they play a pretty crisp game. Now, the only thing that could change is if they fall behind 13-0, 17-3. It's going to have a sound that's going to be very hard to ignore. But I think it's going to sound ominous, and it might sound like a funeral. It's going to have a different angst to it. But if they come, like, from the start of the game, I think Dallas will be ready to go. I think they'll process this fine.
But that's been their issue, is they haven't been ready to go to start games. So they have to end up finding ways to win at the end. But here's the thing. Yes, I understand what you're saying. And you're right. We talk about this every, you know, November for the last 5 years. We've talked about, man, is Jason Garrett the right coach? Yeah, he should move on from Jason Garrett. Jerry Jones is intimating that they're going to move on from Jason Garrett. But Jason Garrett just keeps grinding away and away and away. But this year, this one feels different.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. Maybe it's because of the frustration that we also feel when you look at this Cowboys squad.
That's what it is.
Not as a fan.
No, that's what it is. Though. But underachievement.
Yes.
For sure.
You look at the squad, you're like, man, they got this guy and this guy. The defense is actually is stout. They got players on both sides of the football.
Yeah.
Great offensive line still. Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott. Hell, they got Amari Cooper now. And Michael Gallup's turned into a baller as well. Like, how the hell do you score 2 field goals in a football game? Now, I understand the Pats are good, but still, you got a run game. In a run game in crappy conditions, you mud it out, man. You hand it off to Zeke, you know, if you got to do it 35 times. And it sucks, and it's not explosive, but it's better than scoring 3 field goals.
Mm-hmm.
Let this guy get a chance to bust one, Ezekiel Elliott, we're talking about. So I think the angst from previous years haven't been, I don't know, truly felt by the lay fan about the Dallas Cowboys. But this year, maybe because of the expectations that we all had for the Cowboys at the start of the season, it feels like, God, they're really underachieving, like even more so than they ever have.
They have a team that is supposed to be a whole lot better. Listen, the way the Eagles are this year, forget about the Giants and the Redskins. They're nowhere near being relevant at this point. But based on the issues with the Eagles in terms of injuries and some age and some overall roster attrition, some bad luck, some underachievement, the way the Cowboys roster is constructed, Dallas should be 13-3 this year. Mm-hmm. Like Dallas should wrap up. Dallas should have a sign on the front of the NFC East lawn that says locked up on December 1st.
That's right.
Over. Everybody else,
you're right.
Have fun, maybe chasing a wild card. This is our division. And listen, we know there's certain brands in sport, right? And Dallas is at the top of this list, whether it's pro or college, right? But there's certain brands that, and it works both ways. And it's interesting. When it benefits you, it's pretty fun, but it could also damage. It could be damaging. If you're an average, if you're a subpar product, we spend more time on you than you deserve because we want to know why.
Mm-hmm.
Because you attract eyeballs and clicks and attention, and your ability to monetize your brand is so obvious that we speak about you even though you don't deserve it. When you're average, right, we have a tendency to either overinflate who they are. Or generally, that's that we went like if they're a tick above average, we almost thrust them into the tier of real true prominence because we want to talk about them.
Mm-hmm.
When they get to the top of the mountain, we then look at things. We uber criticize them.
Yeah,
and for other teams, we might gloss over some deficiencies, but with the Cowboys, we truly illuminate them. There's nowhere to hide. Jason Garrett wasn't a star player. He was a backup. Mm-hmm. We know that.
But a really good one.
I understand that. Yeah, no, that's my point. He knows how the Dallas market works, how the national market, I should say, reacts to the Cowboys. I don't think he's shaken. I don't think he's deterred. I don't think he's confused. I don't think there's anything ambiguous in his mind about what they need to do tomorrow against the Bills.
Yes, but
I believe they'll play well.
But do you think he's tired?
Well, if I'm him, I might be.
Yeah,
I might be.
Yeah, I think we kind of come to the same conclusion about that. It's like, I mean,
be appreciated a little bit.
I want to be appreciated a little bit. How about some praise? When was the last time, other than when he won Coach of the Year, that Jerry Jones gave him some praise?
Yeah,
and I understand. Look, he's looking to win a Super Bowl, Jerry Jones. It's been 2 decades since they've won a Super Bowl, and so he craves it probably more than anything. But if they should move on from Jason Garrett because he doesn't finish number one in first place, as he said, which is to win the Super Bowl. They're likely to win the division, but you know what I mean. If they don't finish as the Super Bowl champion and they go elsewhere, who does Jerry turn to? That's the question that gets really interesting because we all know certain coaches will not work with Jerry Jones.
Mm-hmm.
They just won't. And certain coaches could be molded into working with Jerry Jones. And there's one who's not too far away in Oklahoma, whose game I'll be calling this weekend, that would be ideal for the Dallas Cowboys. We can get to that later. But Jason Garrett, I think, is at a interesting point. One, from the standpoint of how Jerry feels about him leading this team. And then two, whether Jason Garrett's ready to lead another team.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you know, the vultures, I mean the microphones were out yesterday to get a response to Jason Garrett's response to Jerry Jones's response. So here's what Jason said about what the owner said and how he's compartmentalizing that and getting ready for the Bills game.
Again, we just got to focus on coaching as well as we can and playing as well as we can. And there certainly were some things in the game that we have to get better at, and we're going to work on that as a staff and as a football team. But again, our eyes are forward on Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, and he's never once sounded wounded or vulnerable or even annoyed.
That's just how he is,
And that's a great quality.
That's an awesome quality.
If you have the right team.
That's
if
right.
You know, some teams need a little urgency, need a little unpredictability.
Yeah, like a little anger.
A little,
like, get off us, you know.
Like Pete Carroll fits Seattle. Because he just fits him.
I hear you.
Fits the weather, fits the energy in the stadium, fits the mold of that city. I'm not saying that Jason doesn't fit Dallas, but I don't, you know, and listen, you know, I haven't thought that he fit this team now for a couple of years, but that doesn't mean I don't think Jason could be an asset maybe for another franchise. I don't know, but, you know, maybe I'm naive. I think this Dallas team is still very talented. I watch the Bills big chunks of their games every single week as a Jets fan. I think Dallas is going to play well tomorrow, and I think Dallas is going to win the game. And if they don't, then, you know, then just out of salvation, I know you're against an in-season firing,
yeah,
and I am generally as well, unless it's like a lawless environment. But at that point, it would be a hemorrhage, and at that point, you might have to do something, even if it could be initially counterproductive. I know you don't like that in-season for them.
No, I hate it.
But if he loses that game, he might get fired tomorrow. He might. 855-212-4227. Tiki and Tierney Show, CBS Sports Radio. All right. The games tomorrow, obviously, we can get into some of the other games this weekend. Week 13 already. It's crazy. Incredible piece. I was reading this before the show that our buddy Jason Lockenfora wrote. Jason will join us today at 4 Eastern, 40 minutes from now, about coaches on the hot seat. And you and I both thought that Patricia, after a relatively shaky first year, was beginning to distinguish himself a little bit, but he actually thinks that Matt Patricia's on really shaky ground amongst others, including Garrett. So I can't wait to talk to Jason about that. So we got a lot to do. How about Duke going down? That was absolutely bonkers. We'll do college football. Aaron Taylor will join us about the big games this weekend. We got you set up for the short, condensed holiday weekend. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
If you're in need of a last-minute gift this holiday season, O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. They have several options for gifts under $20, like a digital tire gauge, a 20-in-1 multi-tool, storage containers, or even a universal backup camera. Or you can get professional quality power torque tool sets starting at just $19.99, not to mention gift cards for that hard-to-shop-for person on your list. You can even buy gifts online and pick them up at your nearest O'Reilly Auto Parts store. Take the stress out of holiday shopping and head to O'Reilly Auto Parts .com to place your order for convenient pickup in store. O'Reilly Auto Parts has thousands of quality parts and accessories in stock. You can shop from your phone, tablet, or computer and pick them up on your schedule. With more than 5,000 stores nationwide, there's an O'Reilly Auto Parts store near you with friendly professional parts people who can have your order ready and waiting. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day.
Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Just switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. So, as we get ready for the holiday, we are both off tomorrow. Tiki's off on Thursday as well. Tiki's off Friday as well.
Yep.
I'm in Dallas, as I said to start the show, out there with the in-laws, and I'll be doing Friday show. I'll be on the air, 105.3 The Fan. They're going to hook me up with the facilities, which is pretty sweet. I know they have a nice setup there. You know, I've heard this a lot in recent years, and a lot of it is derived from the sad, pathetic plight of the Detroit Lions. Mm. And I'm curious. I want to go around the room here because we're all different ages, and, you know, you and I are the same.
Yeah.
D-Cell's a little younger. Mike's more in our wheelhouse. Different thoughts, different processes. Do you think the NFL should change tradition and get away from having the Lions be the first game? You think they should mix that? Are we at a point now where, or are we married to that for the rest of eternity here?
It's a really good question, because the early stages of my football viewing life, that's just what I came to expect.
Yeah, same and, here. Everybody.
And it was, even though they weren't great and they weren't competing for Super Bowls per se, there were stars.
Yeah.
Right? It was Barry Sanders. Herman Moore was there. Exactly. Yeah. So there were guys that you just, like, elite, all-pro, top-of-the-food chain athletes on the Lions, even though they weren't winning, but you tune in to see them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's faded. I mean, Matthew Stafford's a good quarterback, but he's not an all-pro.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I'd say, yeah, I think they could buck tradition at this point because it's not as, like, foregone as it used to be. Used to be foregone conclusion. Detroit's playing, and you're going to see some great, you know, once-in-a-lifetime athletes. It's not that way anymore. And I think our interests.
But is it that way because we're older and we just don't view it that? I'm sure there's little kids who wake up. And
yeah, but the little kids don't view it. They don't consume it the same way.
Yeah, that's true.
And so it's different. So, of course, I think they could buck it.
But
and
what would you do then? Would you have like a fly? Would you make maybe tie something in? I want to get your guys' opinions as well.
Yeah.
But would you maybe, because you can't like flex it from a Sunday to a Thursday because the logistics, you can't do that. So you'd have to establish it
at the beginning
the year
season.
Before. Yeah, yeah, at the beginning.
Yeah, whenever
but maybe
the
based off of some criteria from the year before, maybe have some like playoff teams meet, And by the way, I'm not so sure that I agree. I don't know that we really need. I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, yeah.
I throw it out there because I've heard that a lot. Now, you know me. I'll always have a soft spot for Detroit. I lived there for a little bit. It was early in my career. I went to a Thanksgiving Day game there. Actually, I went to two. I went to the one at the Silverdome, and I went to one at Ford Field, the first one at Ford Field. And I get it. I know what it means to the people of Detroit, the metro area. It's very important. So I'm not here to strip it away. But I think that I'm in the growing minority on this. I think people getting kind of tired of watching the Lions on Thanksgiving. And I hate to say that. D-Cell, what do you think, man?
I kind of like where you were headed just there about making it maybe playoff matchups from the previous season.
Uh-huh.
Something to make it more grand, because I feel like you don't get that with the Lions every year.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not anti-Lions. I have nothing against the Lions.
No.
It doesn't feel like big game Thanksgiving and then the Lions.
Yeah. You know, in some ways, the Cowboys, because they've made the Cowboys one of the staples as well, it makes more sense. They have a history of being, and I put this in quotes, America's team.
Mm-hmm.
So that one actually kind of makes sense on a Thanksgiving. The Detroit Lions, I don't know why it started there. Do you know the history? I don't know the history.
I don't know the history.
And I should, obviously, because it was. I played in the league, and I was around it for a long time, and that was when Thursday night games were like special. It was meant something.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have Thursday night football for a majority of my
NFL. No, it was so unique. It didn't matter who played.
Not any of my NFL career. I think the first Thursday night game saved the Thanksgiving game.
No, you were retired.
Was 2001 after we won after we played in the Super Bowl. We played on Thursday
the
night.
The first Thursday.
To start the game.
Non-Thanksgiving, you mean.
Yeah, to start the season.
I gotcha.
Other than that, Thursday night didn't exist.
No. Yeah, so, Monday night, which is now pretty tough to stomach for different reasons. It's kind of lost some luster.
Yeah.
But that's also due to overconsumption. The other thing, too, is there was a uniqueness. Like, I remember as a kid, and my tradition was my mom usually cooked. Sometimes my aunt cooked, but my mom usually cooked. And I love, getting up early, putting the parade on, and I'd watch the parade in the basement. You know, we'd have a lot of people over, and I could, I'd be in the street playing football. So, and there was a uniqueness to watching the Lions play because there was no red zone. All these stations, like there was no, outside of ESPN and the NBC, CBS.
Yeah.
Even Fox wasn't there for a long time of our early at ABC. It just seemed like, okay, wow, there's the Silverdome. The Giants aren't in their division. The Jets play them once every how many, you don't really get. So I enjoyed it. It was just different.
Yeah. It wasn't over. It wasn't put in your face as much as it is now.
It's not. And, now there's really nothing unique to Ford Field because if you watch the red zone, you see cut-ins every week. Mike, what do you think about this? What would you do? Do you want to keep this or do you want to maybe mix it up?
Keep it.
You do.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm surprised that you aren't as into it. Like, you and I, our first loves were baseball, right? And baseball is always remembered for its history and its pageantry, and we always harken back to, like, everything we compare back to, like, Babe Ruth or Ted Williams or the 27 Yankees. We always kind of go back into our history, and that's kind of what brings us back to loving the sport. And so I feel like tradition is so important in so many sports, especially something like football, when you start taking traditions away, just for the sake of saying, well, the Lions haven't been good, traditions are there for a reason and they become part of the lexicon of the sport.
But
keep it. Eventually, I mean, I say so, but eventually the Lions have to be good.
But
just
you,
law of averages.
I've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah, I know.
But don't you think you got to be backed by some greatness? Like, it has to.
Not necessarily. No, because there's tradition. I mean, we don't watch Army Navy because there's great football.
Yes.
We watch it for the pageantry, for the respect
of
the young men.
But in a bygone era, Army and Navy were national champions.
Well, I understand that.
Right?
But, you're not watching Army Navy to do scouting for the
first
round.
But there's
you
a history
because you love our country.
There's a history there.
Of course.
Of excellence on the gridiron.
No doubt about it. I get that.
And obviously it's waned a little bit because, like, the star athletes go to Alabama.
Of course.
And University of Texas and in Florida, wherever. But so there was a tradition of excellence. That's not there for Detroit. Like, the tradition of excellence is actually there for the Dallas Cowboys. And it's interesting because you talk about baseball, Samter. I got hooked on a rabbit hole. Not really a rabbit hole because I wasn't on my computer, but I was watching MLB last night, MLB Network last night.
I think I know where you're going. And I think I flipped on it, too. What was the history of the
Dodgers.
Yeah, when they left New York.
And they
I was
left
watching
New York.
For a second, too.
But So Bob Costas, who we had on last week.
Look at my guy. Well, I'm so proud of this
but
kid.
But BT, I just got hooked.
Of this kid.
But the stories you can tell in baseball are amazing.
Watching the Major League Baseball Network.
Like this,
love it.
Actually, next time we have Bob Costas on, I want to ask him about his experience with Willie Mays and his experience watching Willie Mays make that over-the-shoulder catch.
The 54 World Series. The 54
World Series. And he pointed something out. He's like, or maybe there was a Skip who pointed this out. He said, as soon as that ball was hit, Willie Mays, we knew he was going to catch it because he patted his glove.
That's what he did.
And if Willie Mays hit his glove, he knew he was catching it.
Uh-huh.
And so
He had a beat on it.
So even though it was an impossible catch, you know, almost in the lane.
And the fence, I think, was like 450 feet.
That's right.
Not 410.
That's
now,
right.
Maybe
that's
460.
Right. Exactly. And so he hit his glove, so he knew he was going to get it.
Yeah.
And so his teammates knew he was catching it. Everybody else was like, oh, my Lord.
And it was the throw with his back to home plate. The throw, he spun, he threw it back into the infield.
So my point is, Sam, you just reminded me that the history of baseball is important to telling the stories of the teams now,
mm-hmm.
right? The Dodgers and the Giants, etc. But the Lions don't have that history of excellence and success.
Yeah.
They do in individuals, but not as a team.
No, I get that. So, go ahead. I'm not a huge proponent of having every. This is going to sound ridiculous on some on having every tradition based on something that is rooted in greatness.
Yeah.
There could be things that are traditional that are just warming, that aren't necessarily illuminating greatness.
True. Samter, how did it start? So the Detroit Lions have been hosting this game since 1934. So before the...
There's probably only 10 teams at that point, too.
Yeah.
That's another reason. There weren't an abundance of options.
So it's been, 84 years, 85 years?
That was the first one, 34?
No, that wasn't the first one. That's... The Lions have been hosting since 1934 every year, and the Cowboys since 1966. The first Thanksgiving games were in 1920.
Was that the Chicago Cardinals?
This was the Akron Pros, the Canton Bulldogs, the Decatur Staleys.
Oh, wow.
The Detroit Herald.
Back then,
this is old
spreads.
School. You got the Packers.
Take the over.
Yeah, but does it give a reason why the Detroit
what is
Lions?
The reason?
I mean, I think that early in the 30s, I'm reading. Obviously, Wikipedia isn't everything, but I'm reading Wikipedia. It doesn't give a specific reason why the Lions became that. But like you said, back in the 30s, there weren't a lot of teams.
Yeah.
So the Lions just probably did it for logistical reasons, whatever.
They may
and
have
then
volunteered.
It became an early tradition. Mike, it was like 5-6 years.
It may have been as simple as something as to say, we'll do it. We'll volunteer.
Yeah.
I mean, really, I don't know if they were anointed.
It may have been the workers were available to work on Thanksgiving, and people in Chicago were like, I'm not working Thanksgiving. Who knows?
It could be.
It could be something as simple as that, but it seemed like it developed, and then after 5-10 years, and it just became a thing. And of course, you're going
to want to move. And by the way, you started your answer, Mike, that you started to say that I was surprised. I'm not saying that I want it to change. I'm just having a conversation. Because I've heard it enough.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recall, I preface everything with, I don't want to see Detroit lose this tradition.
Yeah.
But I have heard enough conversations, enough speculation, enough inquiries, why and are they married to this forever? I figured I'd just throw it out there and, look, I'm not trying to rattle the table here. I love that Detroit has it. It's really the only thing they have to look forward to every year if you really think about it.
Yeah.
And go ahead, Mike.
So I'm actually reading a little bit more. So it started out as the owner, George Richards, reportedly or apparently, they weren't getting a lot of fans to games, so they wanted to use it as a gimmick to get fans to the games. That's how it started. But what differentiated the Lions, again, according to Wikipedia, was that Richard also owned local radio station WJR,
that's
an NBC
powerhouse.
Affiliate.
Yeah.
And so they were able to get the games broadcast across NBC affiliates nationwide. His connection to owning a radio station is what kind of got the prestige of it. But it started out as a gimmick.
Interesting.
That's good background. Good job on that, Mike. I would say in closing, most people, it's hard enough to travel just to go and have a meal. really, I get it. I'm going to Dallas. You're flying out to do games. You have in-laws. You've been all over. You go to Virginia, see your mom. It varies. Whether it's Dallas, whether it's Detroit, whether it's one of the night games, but really one of the two staples, the two games that have been present for a long time, do it. If somebody invites you, if you have an in-law and you can maybe swing it, get out to Detroit, get out to Dallas. It is pretty unique to tailgate with turkey
and
stuffing.
Go?
What's that?
Will you go to the game?
No, I'm flying out tomorrow.
Oh, you're flying out tomorrow morning.
Honestly, Teak, at this point, I've already done it. I want to see my in-laws. I haven't seen them in a little bit. I want to see the kids.
They've been there
a little bit before. I want to hang out at home.
That's a whole day.
Yeah, plus I'm working Friday, and then I got to fly back Saturday. I'm doing tops on Sunday. I want to just chill.
Yeah.
I don't want to go and tailgate. We're not going to the game. We'll be watching it at my in-laws' house in Dallas. All right, we got Jay Berman's update right now. Coming up after that, little inbounds and out of bounds. Jason Lock and Four, top of the hour. The hot seat rumor mill is a cranking out a lot of names. Jason's article, very, very interesting. We'll get to that after Jay. Here's Jay Berman coming at you right now. All right. Going to get to inbounds, out of bounds in a second here on Teak and Tierney. First up, though, it's time to ask the pros. I guess that's us by default. You can ask us anything you want. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. That's the hashtag for to get the get these into us so we make sure we see them. At CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros, and make sure you stick around, listen later on. Teak and I will answer the best one, so make us think. Could be about college football over the weekend, could be about the NFL, could be a little something from that Mavericks-Clippers game last night, which we'll get into. Luka was in check, and I didn't like those Mavericks uniforms. I like the graffiti angle, you know that.
Yep.
I just didn't like the colors. It doesn't really fit the whole Dallas angle.
No.
I mean, the Knicks, Brooklyn, Philly, Lakers, Clippers, all right, I got you.
I'm sure.
The Wizards.
Yeah,
but
I'm sure there's some places in Dallas where it's all graffitied up, but it's not mainstream enough for
you don't think of
that. No, of course not.
No. Think of Chicago. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Yeah, Dallas is a city, but it doesn't feel like a city.
You don't think so?
I'm trying to think of skylines. Like, I can see the Chicago skyline. I can see Brooklyn or even New York, and I can't see the skyline of Dallas. And that's what I think of a graffiti laced place is somewhere with the skyline. I don't know why.
Well, the truth of the matter is, you go 20 miles away, you're in Fort Worth, and it's like going into the Wild Wild West.
Yeah.
I told you, the first date we ever went on. People are getting off horses. They're wrapping around poles. Like, they're taking their horse into town for dinner. I swear to God.
That is nuts.
It's incredible. You can get a D-Wing for driving a horse drunk. Do you know that?
No.
You can.
You're kidding, right?
No, you can. You can get ticketed for actually driving anything, like whether it's a golf cart at a resort or a scooter or an animal. Well, absolutely.
Boats, I knew.
Oh, yeah, for
boats,
sure.
Boats, I knew.
Oh, yeah.
But a horse?
Yes.
I mean, a horse kind of leads itself, doesn't it?
You can get ticketed. You really can.
That's awesome.
All right, so here is the...
they impound the horse?
I don't know. I don't know, impound the horse. That's funny. Giuliani would have all those years ago when he started that rule when he was impounding the cars. All right, so...
Damn Giuliani.
Let's see here. Did he ever get you?
No, he didn't.
All right. Would you like to see the NFL deviate from tradition and have games in places other than Detroit and Dallas on Thanksgiving? Short and sweet. Give it a vote. Just put it up on Teaky and Tierney. Yes, mix it up, or nope, tradition. Those are the two options. All right, inbounds, out of bounds. You good?
Let's get it.
Here it is.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now.
There we go. The Niners, 10 up and 1 down, fresh off a 37-8 drubbing of Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. They waxed them. However, the NFC's best team travels to Baltimore this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that is must watch to take on the AFC's best team, maybe the NFL's best team, the Ravens. However, Vegas isn't all convinced that the Niners can actually contend and hang around with Lamar Jackson, making San Francisco a 6-point dog. I want my respect. It's the first time since 2007 that a 10-1 team entered a game as an underdog, though that game pitted the 10-1 Packers against the 10-1 Cowboys. So a little different context there, a little perspective. In or out, the Niners defense will hold Lamar Jackson to under 50 yards rushing.
First of all, take the Ravens laying 6. And second of all,
give advice now these days,
out of
huh?
bounds. That went 5-1 last week.
He gets a little hot there. He's feeling good.
Out of bounds, BT. Lamar Jackson's been held to under 50 yards twice. One was week one, where he didn't need to because he threw for 5 million yards against the Miami Dolphins. And then the second time was in that tight game against the Kansas City Chiefs, and he's only 4 yards under 50. So I'm going to say out of bounds. He's going to get going. Because he always does.
Yeah, I agree. I would say out of bounds, too. I mean, anytime we do this on Tops, we do a segment over-under where we just pick a statistical thing and you go over-under. I mean, it's pretty basic, but it forces you to zero in and determine, you know, based on the analytics and the stats and the history, what somebody might do. And my thing is, anytime I see a relatively, low number for a great player, I'm going to go over, take my chances.
Right.
I mean, he could rip off 137-yard run. He's got 13 yards to go for the rest of the game.
And he usually does that.
And he usually does, especially, you know, as we get deeper into the more and more with great frequency. Out of bounds, totally agree.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, how about this? The Kyrie Irving experiment, all right? This is off to an interesting start in Brooklyn here. A little bit uneven. So Irving, the points are there, almost 30 a game, but he's missed six games due to injury, and there's rumors swirling about his temperamental attitude. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. Stephen A. had that a couple days back. Former Celtics teammate Marcus Smart said, quote, teammates didn't know how he was going to act, what his moods were, end quote. However, former Cavs teammate Tristan Thompson had high praise for Irving earlier this week, called him a great teammate, and discussed Kyrie's Cavs legacy.
As somebody who spent so much time around Kyrie, what did he mean to this organization?
See that banner right there? That's what he means to the franchise, you know, being number one pick. Came in with a lot of expectations, and he surpassed them all. Being an all-star, all-star game MVP, world championship, gold medalist, made a crucial step back from the right wing in game seven, rookie of the year. It's a lot. He'll be, his jersey will be retired here. It's part of history, and he'll always have a place in this Cavalier franchise.
All right, so Kyrie get a little support from one of his boys. In or out, the Cavs should retire Kyrie Irving's number.
I'm going to say inbounds because he wasn't talking about – we weren't talking about Kyrie as a dude. We're talking about Kyrie as a player. And what he brought was amazing to the Cleveland Cavaliers after LeBron got there and he was able to stabilize. He needed that veteran experience around him, someone to rein him in and grow him up really, really quickly. That's what you got to give LeBron a lot of credit for. He grew Kyrie Irving up real quick, and it culminated in a championship, including that step-back three-pointer that he made. So I'm going to say inbounds. I think they should.
100%. I mean, listen, as much as we want to say he's a little hit or miss in terms of his personality, he's a little unpredictable, a little petulant. Introverted, a little. Yeah.
He's just he's quirky, sometimes.
Quirky,
aloof.
Yeah, it's not like we're debating whether or not the Bills should retire O.J. Simpson's number. No. I mean, you're talking about somebody who should be in jail for the rest of his life.
Yes.
No, this is Kyrie Irving, who, if he doesn't stick that dagger against the Warriors, they got no championships. Mm-hmm. So, this is always my stock answer. Anything pertaining to not a museum for the sport, but an acknowledgement for said city and said team, then you have to put yourself in the mindset of the fans that go to that arena. And it's not about, first of all, my answer is obviously inbounds, but even if I didn't think, and my answer is easily inbounds, but it's what 20,000 Cavaliers fans think when they stack the loan, quick and loan, the queue all those nights, and they watch him do his magic, and they won a championship. So 100% yes, there's no doubt about it. Santa's telling me in my ear that if LeBron, you know, without LeBron, they were terrible. I get that. But without LeBron, you know, without Kyrie, LeBron's got no championships there. So it's a two-way street, and he changed the economics of that city for a long time. That residually will be felt for the better. Absolutely, no doubt, unequivocally inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, how about this? 3 weeks into the college hoop season, but for the third time, the number one team, this was nuts.
Yeah.
This was a crazy place. This is really fun. And the country has fallen. So we know Michigan State lost to Kentucky in the opener. We talked about that. We had Coach Izzo on right after that. The Wildcats lasted just about a week or so. They dropped to the Evansville Purple Aces, so it's been a little turbulent up top, as we know. Now the most recent number one, Duke, lost in a stunner to Southland Conference, Stephen F. Austin, and the final sequence, loose ball, clock ticking, going the other way. Just enjoy this.
Duke starting him again down the right side. Bounce it down low, knocked away by Ware. It's loose. Gavin Kinsmill comes up with it. Here's Bane on the other end. Bane on the breakaway. Bane on the dunk and the buzzer. Lumberjacks win! The Jacks have just beaten Duke at the buzzer. 85-83, SFA has knocked off the number one team in the country.
That was awesome. By the way, I think they fouled the kid right before.
Yeah,
because
they did.
If you're listening on the radio, let me just describe it real quick. You didn't get to see the visual here on TV. There was a loose ball with about 3.5 seconds left underneath Duke's basket. Stephen F. Austin got the ball. They started to pass the ball forward, and it looked like two Duke players tried for a breakaway or to foul him before he had the breakaway. They didn't call it. He got it off with about 9/10 of a second to go. Count the bucket. Game is over. So, question is this. It is better for college hoops to have multiple flawed teams vying for number one rather than one truly dominant team atop the rankings.
I'm going to say inbounds. I think this makes it makes teams, you know, at least us as viewers, view teams as beatable regardless. And in this situation, that's kind of what we're finding out. It makes you want to tune in to the regular season as opposed to just saying, yeah, but the cream's going to always rise to the crop. We get to the tournament. That's all that matters. I like this with a team like Stephen F. Austin. It's not going to affect Duke in the long run.
No.
But I think it's watchable basketball as opposed to there's Duke just wiping the floor with Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah. By the way, I love hearing these kind of calls from somewhat obscure obscure schools and conferences. Good job, Rob Myers on the SFA Radio Network. We'll give you the national shout, no doubt. Nice job. My answer is out of bounds here. My answer is out of bounds. I love that Stephen F. Austin was able to do. By the way, the last team to win there, non-conference, was back in 2000. You know who it was?
Oh, wow.
St. John's.
That right?
Against a vintage Duke team. That was with, that was incredible. Of course, that's a couple of years before I started doing the game. Mm-hmm. I didn't get to really enjoy that when I was watching it. But listen, it's awesome. But during the regular season, I like to have, you know, like penthouse status established and then nuttiness during the big games.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.